time?
Sunday.
What day?
Sunday.
It's time to play the game.
Get ready for a game day edition of CBJ and 30.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice. Join the discussion on Twitter by using the hashtag CBJ and 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
I'm telling you, he jumped us.
Sure did, huh?
I mean, gloves off, stick down, no warning. He called his name. Call his name!
That had to be the way the Blue Jackets felt last night in their 5-2 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs at Nationwide Arena. I think the die was cast in that game when Mike Babcock, the head coach of Toronto, sent out his fourth line to start the game. Not his number one line, not his number two line, not a line with skill. He sent out his fourth line to get things going. The Blue Jackets matched up right from the opening faceoff. And then it was on. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ and 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligott, coming to you from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., where the Blue Jackets will take on the Washington Capitals in a fierce Metropolitan Division matchup tonight. Mike Babcock really tried to set the tone when he did that at the start of last night's game, and I think he got the desired result because then his team went out and they were, I don't know if I could say they were bullies, but I'll tell you, they were making hits last night. Some of them were even legal, as a matter of fact. But there were several hits from behind in that game. Nick Foligno early on took a hit and had to leave. He was able to come back. Brandon Dubinsky took a hit, fortunately didn't leave. Same with Seth Jones. He took a hit from behind. He didn't leave the game. But then Oliver Bjorkstrand gets laid out by Roman Polak. And Bjorkstrand, not only was he laid out, he was knocked out. Let's be honest. He was out like a light. And had to leave the game, never returned to the game, and the Blue Jackets sure missed his presence. And now the question is, how many games are they going to miss his presence for after that hit that was laid on him last evening? So a tough loss for the Blue Jackets, who played well for much of that game last night and just didn't have anything to show for it. They got down 2-0, they came back, they tied the game at 2, and then it was kind of a lucky break by William Nylander, who actually fell and went sliding out into the neutral zone because he lost an edge. The Blue Jackets threw the puck into the Leafs zone, and when a pass didn't connect and it was intercepted by the Maple Leafs, they just fired it back to the neutral zone, and Nylander, who had regained his balance and had gotten back up on his feet, skated in and beat Jonas Korpisalo on a great shot. I mean, it was a great shot that he beat him with on the breakaway. That broke the tie. Then there was, empty netter before it was all said and done. First they scored to make it 4-2. John Tortorella pulls the goal. He tries to get him back into it, and it goes to 5-2. That's the final last night. One of the other quirks of that game was after Roman Polak got the 5-minute major in a game misconduct, the Leafs didn't put anybody into the penalty box. So the Blue Jackets had their 5 minutes worth of power play, but they had more than that because you don't have to put somebody in the box when the 5-minute major starts. You can put him there at some point once there is a whistle. The problem that happened to the Leafs was there was no whistle, and now they didn't have anybody in the box, and that means that the 5 minutes expires, and since there's nobody in the box, you can't put anybody on the ice. So the Blue Jackets got extended power play time, and they didn't get anything off the power play. That was obviously a huge turning point to the game, but it was the Leafs that were good penalty killers too, to be honest with you. I mean, they're in the top 10 in penalty kill, so it wasn't like they just got lucky. They weren't 22nd ranked in the league and got lucky on a almost 7-minute, 8-minute power play against. So it was tough that the Blue Jackets didn't score on that, but it was a game where the Toronto Maple Leafs came in and I thought they dictated more and they got the desired result and strengthened their wild card hold on the second wild card spot, trying to hold off the New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lots of post-game reaction from last night. Let's start with the Blue Jackets captain, Nick Foligno, talking with Aaron Portsline of the Columbus Dispatch.
Did you guys get jumped tonight, do you think, by them physically early?
I don't know. I don't know if it was jumped or just we didn't get to the same level that we needed to get to as they were. You know, I think they just got to a level faster than us. And that can't be the case. You know, we're a team that needs to play at a high level all the time. And tonight they just they came out with a different one, and we took a little while to get there. But once we did, I mean, in the second period we pretty well took over the game. They got a lucky one at the end where the guy's literally cherry picking, and gets a goal. So, but that's part of the game. And then you get 5 minutes to get that back, and we didn't do it. So yeah, you can beat it around and say they jumped us, but I thought we came right back at them and got our level to where it needed to be, and then took over the game. Just couldn't find a way to get that equalizer.
How much did the hits from behind sort of take you guys?
Well, they're just dangerous. I mean, that's the part that you just get frustrated with, is because a lot of times those are called, or it's just when a player is in a vulnerable position. We've had it happen to us. It's just such a gray area in the league right now, and you get mad because like it happened, you know, and luckily Doobie doesn't get hurt. Luckily, I think it's Jonesy that doesn't get hurt, but then Borky does, you know, and that's the part that you're like, you keep letting it go, you let it go, and then all of a sudden someone gets hurt, and that's the problem. That, you know, it's not on the refs, and it's, I get it. They're trying to let things go. They're trying to let us play, but those are the ones that you hate seeing, because it really hurts somebody, and Borky, unfortunately, didn't come back tonight.
Yeah. You guys have had so few power plays lately. How much does that sort of take you out of the rhythm? It wasn't a good one tonight.
That's disappointing. You know, we're not going to beat ourselves up, but it's just, you could tell we weren't at the same intensity that we needed to be at. You know, sometimes those five-minute ones, you think you have so much time. You need to almost act like you don't have any at all, and they got the jump on us on there, just, you know, getting clears, and then you start to get frustrated, and that can't creep in, though. We're a team that's very good on the power play, has to find a way to get better on the power play here down the stretch, and that's how you win hockey games in playoffs, and I'm sure we'll get that going.
That's Blue Jackets captain Nick Foligno. Sam Gagner agreed with him about that power play, seeing it as a wasted opportunity the Blue Jackets had to get themselves back into a tie and retake the momentum in that game.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes to get a goal to tie a game up, and you know, we don't even create any momentum, and we allow them to create momentum. It was actually longer than a five-minute power play because of the fact they didn't have a guy in the box, and we got to find a way to accomplish something there. It's a big part of it.
They clearly were desperate. I mean, they know they got to have every point now.
Yeah,
They are, but they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, actually up until that point, I thought we carried a lot of the play. You know, when the power play comes and, you know, we don't accomplish anything in it, that's kind of where the game was decided. And I think, you know, it's something we got to obviously learn from. Power play is going to be really important for us going forward here, and got to find a way to, you know, even if you don't score, to create momentum, and we weren't able to do that.
Does tonight have any bearing on tomorrow night? Does it make it harder, or is it
no,
strictly different?
Yeah, they're different entities. Obviously, you know, tonight it's tough to take a loss. I think, you know, it's one of those ones you got to find a way to win a game, and we weren't able to do that. But has no bearing on tomorrow. We got to find a way to win a game tomorrow. That's what it comes down to.
Sam, in all fairness, on that power play, how much does it hurt to lose one of your top power play guys there in Oliver Bjorkstrand right before you get the five-minute major?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough losing him. Obviously, he's a big part of things, and, you know, you got to make adjustments. I think regardless, you got to find a way to get something done in the power play. But, yeah, like you said, it hurts losing Bjorky, and you hope he's all right.
Was this game any more physical than you thought it might be tonight?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think we know the intensity of the game this time of year, and there's going to be some physicality involved, and you know, you got to answer the bell. You know, I thought we did that in spurts tonight, and got to keep doing more of it.
I think that was well put by Sam Gagner. They responded in spurts. It wasn't necessarily a consistent all the way through effort in that department. And why was this game so physical? Do you have any idea? Well, Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, addressed that issue in his post-game press conference. Listen to the end of this one and the last question that he gets asked. He will explain quite specifically what, in his opinion, his team had to do when he looked back at the last visit the Maple Leafs made to Nationwide Arena.
We have to ask with the penalty kill there, Mike.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'm doing better now. Can you just imagine if you had done that? And, you know, we laughed on the bench, but there's... you know, it's all my fault. Let's not kid ourselves. It's me, and you got two assistants on the bench, and you got two in the video room, and then you got 15 players sitting on the bench, and we can't get that done right. So now, often it happens, and you just fire a guy in, but obviously it went the whole time, and we didn't do anything about it. You know, in hindsight, if that had cost you, it'd be terrible, right? So that'll never happen in my lifetime again. I can tell you, I will never wait to put a guy in or any of that. It's just, you're going whether you like it or not.
not,
you know. So anyway, our penalty kill was really good. Andy was real good. I thought our team played good here today.
Can you kind of imagine what players go through now sitting in the box just waiting for that moment?
Well, you just think about it. I've been there, a player, when you take an, especially when you take a dumb one and the game's on the line. I've been that guy before, so I know what it's like to sit there and suffer, you know, go in there and feel shame a little bit. But, you know, our team played good, and we got ourselves a big win on the road here. We go back now. Obviously, we've got to get prepared for Jersey because that's a big game for us tomorrow.
Mike, your club's ability to bounce back after they score two in the second, but obviously a source of their evolution, their maturity maybe?
Well, I thought the shift after they got the second goal, Matthews' line came on and we dominated in the offensive zone and kind of got our feet under us again. And, you know, they're a good team, and if you give them time in your own zone, it's going to go in the net. So I thought we played a pretty good game here tonight against a good team. And, you know, we scored some timely goals. I thought Naz's line was really good. It was unfortunate. I thought Ferrazzi played well. It was unfortunate to lose him in the game, but that's the way it goes.
You've been in the playoffs long enough to know so many things have to go your way. In the past three games, have you seen a lot of those elements from this team?
Well, I mean, to be in the playoffs all the time, you got to have good players and you got to play good. You know, that's just the reality of it. For a team like us that's trying to find our way and figure it out and learn, I don't know if you remember the play in the game where the puck came up the wall to Fair and Boyle stayed underneath and popped it in and then gave it to Hunwick. It was a poised play by veteran players in our zone that allowed everyone on the bench to say, it's okay just to make plays. And I thought that was an important part of today's game. But to me, when I look at our group, we're improving every day and we're getting better, and the guys' confidence got to be growing. But we're going to enjoy the flight and then get some rest. It's a big game for us tomorrow.
Was upping the level of physicality part of the message tonight, or did the game just kind of...
Yeah, well, we wanted that because last time we came in here and they abused us, so we didn't like that very much. And so we thought it was important to respond.
Is it just me, or do you remember the Blue Jackets manhandling the Toronto Maple Leafs the last time that they were in? I mean, physically. I know they destroyed Curtis McIlhenny when he made the start in goal, but I didn't really recall it being that big of a physical game that there was a retaliation effort that was coming last night from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But obviously, they looked at it in a much different way, and that's the way they decided to play last night, and they played it well. Auston Matthews continues to impress. He was the first overall draft pick last summer. He did have one of the goals last night for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's some comments that he made after the game.
One of the bigger, heavier hockey clubs in the NHL. This team seems to be welcoming that kind of grind right now. How do you see it from your perspective?
Yeah, they're, like you said, they're a big, fast, physical team. So I thought we played fast as well tonight. We got the puck in behind them and just got to work. And, you know, definitely a big 2 points for us.
How important has this team's resilience been, especially against good teams like this?
Yeah, it's been huge. I mean, being able to close out a game like this, you know, we've had a number of games like that as of late, and being able to close them out is you know, spectacular for us. We just want to continue to keep that going. I mean, this is a really good hockey club.
What was going through your mind during that extended penalty kill there in the third period?
Yeah, we were just losing our minds on the bench, trying to get a whistle, and just trying to stop play for to get our guy back out there. So I mean, we kind of gave him an 8-minute power play. So, but our PK was huge. I mean, they, you know, we gave him nothing. They came up pretty big there.
Willie's shot, fun to watch, wasn't it, if you could see it?
Yeah, this guy's blessed out there. He's taking three-minute shifts, and the puck, and then he buries one. So, yeah, I mean, he's been playing unreal for us. He's been skating, and, you know, when he's skating and moving, you know, he's a tough guy to stop. So, you know, definitely want that to keep going.
That is Auston Matthews, Toronto Maple Leafs forward. Hey, you can cry all night about William Nylander getting that opportunity to go in on a breakaway because he's the guy that fell down and slid into the neutral zone and then just happened to be there, right place, right time, to take a pass and go in one-on-one with Jonas Korpisalo. But it was a heck of a shot, and Nylander is turning out to be a heck of a player. That young core they have in Toronto is a good core. Mitch Marner, Auston Matthews, William Nylander, and then some of the guys that were quote-unquote holdover guys like Nazem Kadri, the way that he's playing. Jake Gardner back on the blue line, the things that he is doing, that team has talent. There's no question. I thought Frederick Anderson was good last night. There were some rebounds by him, but there were you know, some good saves that he made, timely saves that kept his team either in the lead or in a tie. But he was good enough last night for them. Let's put it that way. He was good enough. I thought Korpisalo played all right. I think my one small criticism of Jonas Korpisalo is he gives up more rebounds than Sergei Bobrovsky does. I had somebody tweet me last night during the game and say, why isn't the defensive coverage in front of Corposalo as solid as it is in front of Bobrovsky? And I think because there are just more rebounds, and they are different types of rebounds. They're kind of leaky rebounds, if you will. And that's one thing. Then this is my opinion, that Jonas has to control the puck a little bit better. I think guys get so used to Sergei eating everything up, and they don't expect those rebounds. Case in point, the Austin Matthews goal. It looks like Corposalo's got the puck, and he's falling over to his right, and all of a sudden the puck comes off the body. David Savard had Matthews wrapped up, and he let go because he thought the play was over, and the next thing you know, the puck is on the ice, and Matthews pushes it in. So that kind of a play, and that was a difficult one. That wasn't a routine save and then cough up the puck. I understand, but I'm just saying, I think this team is so accustomed to Sergei Bobrovsky eating up everything that all of a sudden, if there's a little rebound here or a little rebound there that they weren't ready for, then that's not helping the cause at all. So they've got to make the adjustment too. Don't get me wrong. The guys in front of them have to make the adjustment and realize who's in goal, and maybe we have to be a little bit more sharp in this area tonight. Well, speaking of tonight, let's get to it. The Blue Jackets in Washington to take on the Capitals. They're still a couple of points behind Washington in the standings. They had that game in hand last night. They couldn't make the most of it, but they can win the two head-to-head matchups that they have left, and the first one is tonight. Last night during the first intermission, my pregame, postgame, and intermission host, Ryan Mitchell, on the Blue Jackets radio network, had a chance to catch up with the radio voice of the Washington Capitals, and he's an Ohio native himself, John Walton. Here's that conversation.
We welcome in John Walton, the radio voice of the Washington Capitals. Thanks for being with us, and how much are you looking forward to this game tomorrow night?
Well, Ryan, it doesn't get a whole lot more fun than this, and as we've said here in Washington, there are going to be bigger games to come for both teams, certainly, but this is the biggest game of the year up to this point, at least as far as Washington is concerned, and I know there's a big one going on right now nationwide, but for the Capitals, after a win over Calgary on Tuesday night, a chance to try and keep moving forward, because this Metropolitan Division, as my partner would say, this is big boy hockey here. There's a lot of big things happening for Columbus, for Pittsburgh, for Washington. It's going to be fun to see it all sorts out.
Well, let's talk about this Metro a little bit, because not a lot of teams thought Columbus was going to be in the kind of mix that they are right now. Three teams over the century mark in points. Everybody thought that Washington, Pittsburgh would probably be pretty good. The Rangers were going to be very competitive, but the Blue Jackets have kind of come out of nowhere to be in that kind of echelon. When you just add one more team to the mix, the way the playoffs are run with the top three getting in, that really makes for an exciting finish, but maybe an awkward start to the playoffs with all those teams mashed together.
Yeah, awkward is one word. Scared to death might be another, because when if you're Washington, you have a chance in the or Columbus or Pittsburgh. You are going to be one of the three teams I just said is going to get knocked out in the first round, the way that the playoffs are set up. And that is unfortunate, because from seeing Columbus, from playing Pittsburgh, there is no doubt that those teams, plus the New York Rangers, among the very best in the NHL this season. The Rangers are going out the back door and laughing like a thief in the night right now, because they're, in all likelihood, moving to the Atlantic Division, and they're perfectly happy with that. They're on their way to a West Coast road trip. They had Hank Lundqvist out for a couple of weeks, but now they get him back this weekend, and they're going to get Montreal, or they're going to get Ottawa, and then in the second round, they're going to get somebody who's not Columbus or Pittsburgh or Washington. So the format, people can, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you've got to be able to find a way no matter what. You got to beat good teams if you want to win a Stanley Cup. But whoever finishes first, and I think the mentality here in Washington has been, from the coaches, the players, the fans, finish first. Because if you do not, then you are faced with the prospect, if you're the Caps, of playing Columbus in round one or playing Pittsburgh in round one. And somebody else is going to have the opportunity to play the second wild card. So there's a lot to be decided. The Capitals' schedule is incredibly difficult after this week, because they are heading on their longest road trip of the season, a five-game trip that will include a stop in Columbus on April 2nd. So it is get it done now for Washington, both with Columbus tomorrow night and Arizona in town on Saturday. And I think the hope is, from a cap standpoint, if you can beat Columbus head-to-head and then finish off the Coyotes, you could be in pretty good shape.
Well, that sort of answers one of the questions I had for you, because Washington has won the President's Trophy in the past, and it hasn't worked out for them. In fact, the majority of teams that have won that have not come away with the Stanley Cup at the end of the season. So is there any kind of concern with that, that, you know, that's not the focus? Our focus isn't on winning the President's Trophy this year. However, the benefit that comes along with that is maybe a little bit easier road in the first round of the playoffs.
There have been two President's Trophies in Caps history, and neither one of them worked out very well. So if you ask a Capitals fan, what do you think about the President's Trophy, they won't have a very positive response. But as far as, you know, for Columbus, you know what? I mean, I can see, and I think the mentality is a little different. You know, to have a banner hanging at Nationwide Arena that said President's Trophy on it, regardless of what happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs, would be a real feather in the cap to what the Blue Jackets have done. I think the perception in Washington's a little different, but you're right. First place, whether it's a President's Trophy winning season or not, doesn't matter. Winning first and being that team that avoids that 2-3 matchup is paramount to getting together a pretty good run. And I think the fans here understand that. I think the fans in all three cities understand that. Obviously, for Columbus to be able to have that kind of season, especially with what they thought it was going to be, maybe even a couple of games into the regular season when the Blue Jackets start 0-2, my goodness, what a season for the Jackets. I mean, I have a lot of family in Ohio. I was born in Columbus, so thrilled that it has certainly come the way together that it has. I can't have it have at the expense of the Capitals, but it's certainly been a fun season, and you know, no doubt Columbus is going to be a force to be reckoned with, and whoever gets in first when the final horn sounds, so to speak, on April 9th, is going to have a little bit of a leg up. But even then, as you say, you still got to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. As I like to look at the website Hockey Reference, and on every team's page, it gives you the linear season, how things have gone on a date-by-date basis. Wins are in green, reds are losses are in red, and you can sort of see the ebbs and flows of a season. When the Caps had a 9-game win streak, one of the wins in there was snapping the Blue Jackets' 16-game winning streak, and they had lost twice to Columbus previous to that. So how big was that win just for the psyche going against a Columbus team that had been so hot all season long?
Well, I think it was pretty big in retrospect because it really started a month of January that was one of the best months in club history. In fact, after beating Columbus pretty handily that night, the very next game was against Chicago here, and the Caps won that game 6-0. They ended up with a tremendous record where they ended up going, I think it was 13 straight games where they got five or more goals on home ice. They ended up, Evgeny Kuznetsov was the NHL's number one star of the month for January. Everything went right in January, and it really started, I think, with that Columbus game. And after the bye week, things changed a little bit. The Caps really weren't very good at the end of February. They weren't scoring as much. Defensively, they were making mistakes they weren't making. And only now have they really started to right the ship, I'd say, in the last four games. A win over Minnesota, even a loss to Nashville last Thursday, where defensively they were pretty sound, but it just didn't get quite enough offense against a pretty good Nashville team. And then going to Tampa and winning a tough road game there to come home and then beat Calgary last night. They are hitting their stride defensively. They're awfully tough to play against. They will wear you out when they're at their best in the third period. Coming from behind against the Caps has been very hard this year. But we saw that go away a little bit at the end of February. I think now that we've gotten into March, a little bit closer to the season and the playoffs getting ever closer, I think they've started to get their swagger back.
All right, John, thanks for being with us. It's going to be a fun run down the stretch, and we're glad that we're going to be a part of it and you're going to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Going to be a lot of fun. Buckle in.
That is John Walton, the radio voice of the Washington Capitals, talking with our own Ryan Mitchell during the intermission of last night's game. And this is going to be a matchup tonight. As John said, there are going to be bigger games, but for Washington, this is their biggest game to this point. Now, that made me think. The Blue Jackets have been in some other really big games. One of them was against the Capitals the night they got beaten here 5-0 to break their 16-game winning streak. But even before that, in Minnesota, when it was the matchup of two long winning streaks on New Year's Eve, 14 games for the Blue Jackets and 12 games for the Minnesota Wild. So I am very interested to see how the Blue Jackets react in this game tonight. Let's take a look at the other games that were played last night, and there were only two. The Islanders, they keep pace with the Maple Leafs with a 3-2 win over the New York Rangers last evening, and the Anaheim Ducks were a 4-3 winner over the Edmonton Oilers. Other games that are going on tonight, besides this one, the Tampa Bay Lightning is in Boston to play the Bruins. That is really a must-win for the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Maple Leafs are back at home. They take on the New Jersey Devils tonight. Montreal is hosting Carolina. The Penguins are on the road in Ottawa this evening. Arizona is at Florida. The St. Louis Blues looking to add to their points lead and try to hold on to that number three spot in the Central Division. They play at home against Vancouver tonight. Speaking of the team that is vying to get back into the number three position, the Nashville Predators, they're at home taking on the Calgary Flames. Philadelphia is in Minnesota. Chicago is at home to take on Dallas tonight. Edmonton with a back-to-back set playing in Colorado. And the Los Angeles Kings, whose playoff hopes are on life support, are at home to play against the Winnipeg Jets this evening. So full slate of action around the National Hockey League tonight, with the Capitals and the Blue Jackets being, of course, the headline game for us. I think it's going to be the headline game for many people. And these two teams have had a couple of decent matchups already this year. I mentioned the last time that they did get together, it was that 5-0 win where the Capitals snapped the Blue Jackets streak. Now, the Blue Jackets would like to get back at them for that just to start with, because Washington was very cocky before that game. Andrei Burakovsky said it's going to be fun to break this streak, and he backed up his words, and they went out and they did that. Burakovsky, by the way, back in the lineup for the Washington Capitals, and they have a tough lineup. There is no doubt about it. You want to look at Alexander Ovechkin, and we do that, as he has 29 goals and 32 assists on the year, 61 points for him. Nicklas Backstrom is not only in the mix here, he's got 78 points, 56 assists for Nick Backstrom for the Washington Capitals. So he and Ovechkin make that good 1-2 punch, but they've got much more than that. They've got plenty of guys that can play, that can find the back of the net. TJ Oshie has 51 points coming into this game. Marcus Johansson has 46 points coming into the game tonight. Evgeny Kuznetsov has 54 points. They are deep up front. They are deep up front. Then when you get on the back end, don't forget they added Kevin Shattenkirk right before the trade deadline to basically keep him away from the Rangers and the Penguins. But they add him. That gives them another good top-quality defenseman. You put him with the likes of Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen and Carl Alsner and John Carlson, and they are good on the back end. And if you can get through all of that, Braden Holtby comes into this game with a measly 2.05 goals against average. So it is not going to be a cakewalk tonight for the Blue Jackets at the Verizon Center. Now, they're expected to have their top goalie back in, Sergei Bobrovsky. He's got a 2.04 goals against, but he was the guy that started that 5-0 loss, and he got yanked in that game on that particular night. But again, that was a long time ago. The Blue Jackets have a lot to play for here tonight. They'll do it without Oliver Bjorkstrand, so that means either Lauri Korpikoski or Scott Hartnell goes back in. My gut says Scott Hartnell goes back in. That's the easy thing to do. He's been here longer, and he's the kind of guy that you want to play in this type of a game. This is going to be a playoff-type atmosphere tonight. It's within the Metropolitan Division. We talk about Hartnell and his success against the Penguins in the past. He's also had his run-ins with the New York Rangers, and that means he's had run-ins with the Washington Capitals too, because that's just the way it gets played in this division. So I would be surprised if it's not Hartnell that goes back in. But one thing I want to watch, like Lucas Sedlak lined up on the left wing last night, and he did not look comfortable in that role. He's a natural centerman. He was playing on the wing. He didn't exactly look comfortable in that role. So if John Tortorella wanted to, I guess, to play devil's advocate, you could take Sedlak out and put Hartnell and Korpikoski both in the game tonight. Now, the only thing is, Sedlak, of course, is a very good faceoff guy, which he can take the faceoff whether you're playing him as a wing or as a centerman. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they go. I would guess that Cam Atkinson will come up to play with Wennberg and Foligno the way they finished the game last night, which takes apart the Saad, Gagne, and Atkinson line and forces you to make adjustments there as well. So we'll see what John Tortorella decides to do. He won't talk until just before the game tonight with no morning skate today in Washington. But I can tell you, this is going to be a big matchup. The Blue Jackets are going to be fired up for this game. How fired up will the Washington Capitals be? That's going to be the question. And I think they're going to be pretty fired up because it's a division game, because they want to hold off the Blue Jackets. They know they only have the two meetings head-to-head. If they can win them both, then they're going to be in great shape. If they lose tonight, then the heat gets turned up on Washington once again. In fact, if they lose tonight and Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh would get 103 points and pass everybody and bump Washington down into the number two spot. That's what's going on here on a daily basis. Every day there can be changes in this division between now and the end of the regular season. And everybody wants that top spot because they want to play the wild card team. They don't want to play against each other because that is a frightening possibility of getting Pittsburgh or Washington in the first round. Somebody's going to have to deal with it, and maybe it will be the Blue Jackets, but everybody is vying for the top spot because they would rather play Toronto or the New York Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning, whoever gets in there. They would rather play one of those teams than play the other team in your division, because you know that's going to be a knock-em-dead type series, and somebody is going to get knocked out. I mean knocked out of the playoffs in that series. So nobody wants to be in that, and that's what the challenge is tonight for both of these teams, and we'll find out which one has a little bit more of what it takes. 7 o'clock puck drop here in Washington tonight. Pregame coverage starts at 6:45 on the Blue Jackets radio network. That includes 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can also hear the game via the NHL app. You can get it on the TuneIn app. The Blue Jackets have a channel there, or you can find it on your laptop or desktop through BlueJackets.com. Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals tonight from Washington, D.C. Till then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long. Out-tourney.